Blog Talk Radio.
Surprise.com open in the day after. The Mets win another game. We will be joined by the editorial producer of SNY.TV, Andrew Visano, in 4 minutes. He'll give us his insight into what is going on in this series, which is a lot. Pretty shocking that the Mets are up 2-0 going back to Chicago. We will talk to him about that shortly. Right now, we are going to spend a couple minutes and speak about golf and the opening Fries.com Open. And we talked about Emiliano Grillo on the show a couple weeks ago. How Aaron Overholzer of Golf Channel labeled him, the Rookie of the Year. And while he doesn't qualify, which Aaron Overholzer obviously just temporarily forgot in that moment, but while he doesn't qualify to be Rookie of the Year, the bottom line is that this is somebody who everybody thought would make it big on the PGA Tour when he got there. And what I think is interesting, and obviously wins in the playoff yesterday versus Kevin Na. What's interesting, I think, is look at these responses. When we talked, when all of us in the golf world were tweeting about this last night, Amanda Baleonis from PGAtour.com, Emiliano's Grillo's camp told me at the Web.com Tour Championship to get used to interviewing him. I'm not sure they realized how quickly we would have to pay attention. Whit Watson, who hosted all those Web.com Tour Finals telecasts, and he, Grillo, was fantastic in the booth, zero language gap. Amanda responded back, very well spoken, I was impressed with him as well, new season looking promising. And then finally, Whit Watson's partner on those telecasts, Craig Perks, said Emiliano Grillo was the class of the finals with his worldwide schedule, his game translates on any continent. Here's a guy who has played all around the world and who lost last year in Puerto Rico at the Puerto Rico Open in a five-man playoff to Alex Chayka that included a bunch of different people, including Sam Saunders, Arnie's grandson, excuse me. So the bottom line here is that you have a guy in Emiliano Grillo who has a world-class game, and on display yesterday, hold a nice bunker shot at the right moment, had a great putt, obviously, to get into a playoff. In the first place, he gets a 15-under, break out of that logjam that could have led us to having a five-man playoff. And he's a class player who has obviously taken a big step, and we will see where this goes from here. Andrew Visano joins us on the other side of this break. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling on Blog Talk Radio, Golf News Net Radio Network, and iTunes.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA's been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717. To learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
And one other golf note, we are going to hear from Tiger Woods this week. Bridgestone America's Cup Which is an event on the PGA Tour Latino Americana, the PGA Tour Latino America, the Latino American Tour, which is run by the PGA Tour. It's got a name that I can never pronounce. He was supposed to play in that event with Matt Kuchar. He's not, but we are going to hear from Tiger anyway. Hopefully, he says he'll attend to support the event, which I imagine would mean we'll get to hear from him first time since his health issues, his back surgery. So that's just something to note as we keep going. Anyway, time to talk Mets.
And we are honored on Teeing It Up to be joined by the editorial producer of SNY.TV, Mr. Andrew Pisano. Welcome him back to Teeing It Up. You can read everything you ever wanted to know about the NLCS on Mets blog, SNY.TV, and watch the Mets pregame and postgame coverage every single day during the NLCS, only on SNY, the official TV home of the Mets. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you ever think this series would be 2-0 going back to Chicago?
Absolutely not. I thought maybe they split the series at home and then head to Chicago tied 1-1. But as we've seen, the Mets pitching has come out and done their job, while Daniel Murphy pretty much leads the team into a two-game series lead in the NLCS. So definitely did not expect them to be up 2-0, but pleasantly surprised.
You watch almost every Met game. Was Murphy even showing a sign of this as the season ended?
Definitely not. I mean, he's a very streaky hitter. The Mets seem to have a lot of guys that are consistently streaky, but there's been nothing like this out of Daniel Murphy for as long as I can even remember. You know, as long as he's been on the team and he's one of the longer tenured players on the roster, I don't remember anything like this, especially the home runs. He set a career record, best this year with 14, and now he has 5 in just the postseason. So it's kind of amazing to see what he's been doing, just because this is not the sort of power he usually has. You know, he's very much a singles and doubles hitter, which is fine. He has a great average, and he always hits for contact, and he's really hard to strike out. But this is just a whole other level. An unbelievable hot streak for him. An unbelievable hot streak for anyone, really.
Most people were looking at this Met rotation and just saying if they can all get there healthy and if no outside influences could stop them and you get them to the playoffs, magical things could happen. And lo and behold, Matt Harvey decided to be a team player, and you get Syndergaard and Jacob pitching like this. It is all kind of aligned. And in your best, wildest dreams, as somebody who watches this team so often, did you ever think that those three guys would basically peak at the right time? Because that's what's happening here.
Yeah, they're definitely all really hitting their strides. I mean, DeGrom was Rookie of the Year last year. Harvey obviously missed the year with Tommy John surgery, and Syndergaard only came up earlier this season. So it's totally different. There's no sophomore slump for DeGrom. Obviously, he had a stretch of starts where he struggled, but and then they sort of had to play a little bit of mix and match down the stretch to sort of get these guys some rest, and it's really seeming to pay off. They got some spot starts from a couple guys. They gave some guys a turn off in the rotation, or were pitching them on 6 days rest with a 6-man rotation, and it was a little bit of a juggling act for the Mets to sort of get good quality starts, and they definitely got those from some of the guys that jumped in. But what it really did is it helped their starters stay healthy and stay refreshed, because you're right, they are hitting their peak right now. They are all pitching unbelievably well, and really leading the team, because they've seen struggles from their big guys who sort of let them down the stretch with one of the most powerful offenses after the All-Star break, and Cespedes and Wright and Duda, who have been pretty ice cold for most of the playoffs so far. Obviously, Wright got a big hit last night, driving in a run. But outside of that big game where they put up 13 runs, Cespedes has really struggled. And thankfully, he's a guy that you can still fear. So they're going to have to pitch to Murphy, and Murphy's been making them pay so far. So in terms of pitching, they've all hit their stride at the right time, and the bullpen definitely struggled a little bit down the stretch, but they're sort of coming around as well with some nice innings out of Reed and Clipper the last few nights.
Those are the those were the next two things that I wanted to talk about. Did you ever expect Daniel Murphy to get intentionally walked to get to Cespedes? I mean, this has been crazy. What?
In the playoffs, no less. Definitely not something anyone would have expected. Anyone would have, if someone brought that up, a month ago or even a week ago, I don't think anyone would have believed you. But, here we are where Murphy is the feared bat in the Mets lineup, and, some teams will rather pitch to Yoenis Cespedes instead of Daniel Murphy.
Yeah. Let's be realistic here for a second, because as nice as it is to talk about Murphy going crazy, it's not going to keep going. It's hugely unlikely that he keeps this going. How concerned are you that so many Met bats are cold right now?
It's definitely a concern. Eventually a starter is going to have to struggle, I think. Not struggle in the way DeGrom struggled in that game five, but struggle in that actually going to give up the run. The Mets offense definitely has shown flashes. Obviously they put up 13 runs against the Brett Anderson and the Dodgers, but other than that, it's been fairly low scoring. So it is a concern. It definitely is. Wright, obviously, with a big hit last night, driving in a run with that RBI double. And then, Curtis Granderson has just been unbelievable. Obviously, Daniel Murphy's sort of overshadowing him because of the power. But Granderson is having just an amazing season, and he's carried that right into the playoffs. Obviously, he had the stolen bases in game two and that amazing catch over the wall to steal a home run. Murphy is sort of taking all the spotlight away, but Granderson is invaluable to this team right now. Moving forward, it's going to be interesting to see how the starters continue. If they keep this up, great. But, the best bats have to wake up eventually.
I'm talking with Andrew Vizzano here of SNY.TV about the Mets' crazy run here through the NLCS. The second part of that, obviously, is the bullpen. Familia has obviously been fantastic, but you heard Terry after game one even hint that he didn't know how much or if at all he had Familia for game two. He obviously did. When your starters are pitching so well, you create this problem where some people in your bullpen haven't pitched a lot. He wanted to pitch Mats last night. That couldn't happen. What's your read on the bullpen overall? Because obviously Familia has been fantastic, but a lot of these guys just have not gotten work.
Three guys out of the bullpen so far. Obviously, Syndergaard coming out of the bullpen in Game 5 of the NLDS was huge for them. He just came out throwing 100 and blew the guys away. But you see that they're going to be a little flexible with bringing in some of their starters on throw days. Mass was warming in the pen, and there was, it was a possibility that he was going to come into the game last night. So it's pretty cool to see what they're doing with their starters. They're sort of being flexible about it. So far, it hasn't bitten them in the butt. It's pretty cool to see. Obviously, Bartolo Colon coming out of the bullpen has been sort of a revelation outside of that game two where he gave up the hit that Tejada eventually got hurt on. But, he has a rubber arm kind of thing where he can just come out day after day and, throw his 85-88-mile-an-hour fastballs and get away with it just because he's so crafty and so good. And in game two, we saw John Neese come in a tight spot and get an out. So, seeing Neese and Colon come out of the bullpen is helpful. Some of the starters coming out of the bullpen, really they're leaning on Reed, Clifford, and obviously Familia, and really limiting what other people are doing, pretty much keeping the rest of that bullpen quiet and sat down, which, is sort of what you have to do in the playoffs. You don't have that opportunity for a guy to come in and maybe give up one or two runs because that can be a difference maker. So, right now, technically, they can play once. 10 more games. You can kind of lean on those guys. They can play 6 more and be done with it and sweep this series and the next, or they can play a lot more and, you might have to start using some of those bullpen arms that you might not want to lean on. But, hey, right now, 2 games up in the NLCS, and so far the bullpen's been looking good, and the pitchers have been going deep enough where they're really limiting the effect the bullpen has on a game, which is what you want, especially because the starting pitchers have been so, so good.
Series goes back to Chicago now. Jacobs on the mound for Game 3. What concerns you here as we go into Game 3? Obviously, Chicago is going to be going nuts over this, but,
it's going to be a sort of a home field advantage situation. I think the Mets, if they can take one game while they play three in Chicago, they should be pretty happy to come back, you know, leading three games to two. I think that's sort of the goal here, because Wrigley is going to be such a home field advantage. It's going to be totally packed, totally amped. And, you know, it sort of has a different atmosphere than Citi Field. Citi Field is obviously a very, very nice ballpark, but Wrigley Field is just something else, something historical, something a little more intimate. And I think that's going to play a lot into the game. And obviously, they got a taste of some cold, windy weather last night at Citi. It's going to be interesting to see how that affects the team out in Chicago when they have similar weather to what they played with last night in Game 2. But, yeah, I think, you know, DeGrom on the mound, he's spectacular. He definitely gutted out through his Game 5 start. You know, he definitely didn't have his best stuff, but he still managed to throw, you know, a quality start and keep the Mets obviously competing and competitive. So, you know, DeGrom, hopefully he bounces back a little from that and has a little more control over some of his pitches, which he was obviously struggling with in Game 5. But, again, you know, this isn't Jake Arrieta and this isn't John Lester that they're going to be facing, you know, in this start. So, you know, if DeGrom can throw like he really just an average start for him, what he's used to, maybe give up a couple of runs and go 6-6 2/3 or something like that, you know, the Mets should definitely have a shot to win that game and take a really commanding three-game series lead with just one to win to make it to the World Series. So, you know, really is that not going to be as easy to play in as it is going to be at Citi Field, but I think if the Mets can steal one and then maybe come home with a one-game lead, or, you know, maybe they can clinch it while they're out in Chicago. You don't know, but I'm fairly confident, especially with the two-game lead and now throwing, I guess you can say, their A1 ace in DeGrom in Game 3.
Any thoughts on the American League Championship Series? Is there anybody you'd prefer to face or not prefer to face, or is it way too early for those discussions?
Frankly, you know, for the Mets, I think they'd rather face the Royals right now. Toronto, their offense is so potent. Obviously, it's been limited a little bit, and they sort of woke up in the same situation that they had in the ALDS, where they were down a couple games, and then they came roaring back. So the Toronto offense can sort of explode at any time. I think that's pretty potent offense that you should fear. Obviously, the Royals are pretty good baseball team themselves. But, you know, if I'm the Mets, I think I'd rather play Kansas City right now. Other than just for the reason that Toronto could just blow you away with a 7-run inning and really put the game out of reach like that, especially the way the Mets' bats have been going, where they really only scoring 3 or 4 runs a night. You know, 7-run inning could shut out the game pretty easily for them.
The final thing that I wanted to ask you, Andrew, is something which is obviously close to your heart, which is the Citi Field atmosphere. People have always said that if the Mets could start to win again, that place would fill up and that place would go crazy. And lo and behold, that place is filled up and that place is go crazy. But as somebody who has a marriage brick out front, as somebody who loves that building, who loves attending things in that building, did you ever think that the atmosphere would be like we've seen so far in these playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. And, you know, I think one of the issues, I'd say, with Citi Field is that there is so much to do outside of the game. You know, there's so much food to take in. There's the concourses to walk around. Some really great, you know, sort of things to do outside of watching a baseball game at a baseball game, which, you know, for some people is good, for some people isn't. But I think that sort of hurts them in terms of regular season stuff where, you know, some people are just mingling out in center field and, you know, munching on food for 2 innings. You're not seeing that this time. Obviously, the lines will be long just because there's 40,000-plus people packed into the park today, you know, these days. But it's nice to see people sitting in the stands and cheering for the team for 9 full innings, which is nice to see. But, yeah, the atmosphere is apparently electric. I have not been out there for a playoff game, but it's been rocking through everything I've heard, which is great to hear. It's not bouncing like Shea used to, which is probably a good thing, maybe a little more sturdy, built sturdily. But it's been a great atmosphere so far. And, you know, the Mets win, people will come out to see them. So that's how it works, and so far it's working.
That is Andrew Vizzano. He is the editorial producer for SNY.TV, Mets blog on SNY.TV, and of course all the Mets pregame, which starts at 6 p.m. on game days and 6 p.m. on non-game days, and Mets postgame, which starts immediately after the final out, and that's all on SNY.TV, home of the Mets. Sir, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Our good friend, Mr. Andrew Vizzano. Unfortunately, not the right setting to ask him what he's learned relationship advice-wise over the last 8 years. But we thank him for coming on our radio program. It's going to be an interesting run to see what the Mets do here over the next several weeks. This could be something historic, could be something special. It's amazing what's happened to them since the Cespedes trade, since the Kelly Johnson trade, since the Juan Uribe trade. It's been certainly a ride that these guys will never forget, and it's been a crazy ride for SNY, and we thank Andrew, who's worked some very long hours. I can tell you firsthand, he's worked some very long hours over the last couple weeks, and we thank him for taking some time to speak with us and talk about what is something we haven't seen in this town since 2000, a Met playoff run. Well, no, sorry, 2006. But I haven't seen this in a while, a Met playoff run deep into the playoffs. That's just going to about do it. That is just going to be about it. Say that 10 times fast. For teeing it up with Jeremy Schilling, I thank my great colleagues for coming up here. Andrew Vizzano for joining us. We will always be joined by Luke Morrow on Sundays for the Sunday Sprint. Sundays 11:30 here on Block Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and iTunes. You can listen to any episode on archive at iTunes. Search Jeremy Schilling or Teeing It Up. And we will see you right back here Sunday at 11:30 next Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, live for more Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. It's the NBA coming up. We'll have an NBA preview probably here next week, and we'll see if Tiger tells us anything earth-shattering at the Bridgestone America's Cup. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you right back here on Sunday. Appreciate the listen, and enjoy your Monday night in the world of sports.